In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, you have probably heard what I would certainly consider an alarming phrase, the Great Reset is coming. Well, at least that's what the liberals and globalists and the anti-religion people want to do. And it's certainly something that will be very sinful. They want to codify and entrench even more the sinful behaviors of society. I'm sure that's part of their idea. You know, to have all the more abortion and unnatural marriage and, you know, ever-expanding government control of people's lives. But there is actually a good understanding or a correct kind of reset that we can participate in. I see Advent as a spiritual reset. And that is the reset that our world needs. And it's put so well by St. Paul in today's epistle, where I think it's very appropriate for the holiday season. Walk becomingly, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. Wouldn't that eliminate a lot of the sins committed during holiday times? And then St. Paul puts it in this beautiful, concise way. And here is what I understand by the great spiritual reset. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reset that everyone needs. And Holy Mother Church gives us this wonderful season of Advent to prepare for Christmas. It is, as we know, the beginning of the church year. It's a new beginning. We need new beginnings, a new fresh endeavor, zealously starting all over again. Of course, many people do this for the first day of the civil year, New Year's resolutions. No reason why we can't begin it today. Again, this is the grace of Advent. Now, these lockdowns and restrictions have obviously helped. with less of these things that St. Paul tells us to refrain from. And if things were lifted, I'm afraid that, a lot of it would come back. But we know what we need to do as followers of Jesus Christ. We need to become more like him. That's what it's all about. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that the holiness and goodness and virtues of Christ should become more and more evident in our lives. We should become more Christ-like. Isn't that what a Christian is? One who takes the teachings of Jesus Christ to heart and in his or her daily life strives to become more like Jesus Christ. Isn't that what the saints did? And they did it to a heroic degree. Truly, of every saint, of every martyr, of every holy person, it can be said, he or she put on the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Imitation of Christ tells us in its first chapter, let it be our chief study to look at the life of Jesus Christ. It's there in the Gospels. Today we have the other gospel about the end of the world. Remember last Sunday, St. Matthew's gospel about the end of the world? Well, The church doesn't let go of that idea. As we begin to prepare for the renewal of the first coming of Christ, which was on Christmas, the church still keeps in mind the second coming of Christ, which will be at the end of the world. And of course, and we all know this very well, our second coming of Christ will happen the day we die. We may not see the second coming of Christ to judge the entire human race at the end of time, but we will most definitely see him at our particular judgment. And what will we be judged on? We'll be judged on how well we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? We will be judged, we who are the ones on trial, we will be judged how well do we resemble our judge. Does that happen in civil courts? Are people judged by how well they imitate the judge? No, we don't think about those things. People are judged as to how well they conform to the law. They may be found guilty, they may be acquitted. But we will, in this judgment, it is all about how much do you resemble your judge in his goodness, in his holiness, in his virtues. Being more like Christ in one's daily life. Part of a good spiritual reset is going to confession. Let's be sure we make a good confession. Now, that's one thing Jesus never had to do. He never had any sins to confess to any sin. Obviously, he's infinite holiness himself. But we poor sinners need to go to confession to become more like Christ so that we can be relieved of the guilt of our sins. Sin is such a burden to carry. The weight of sin, the guilt of sin. Let us not keep away from the sacrament of mercy. And when we have our sins forgiven and at least some of our temporal punishment is taken away in every confession, we become more like our Lord. We become more free of sin. It's always a hallmark of a parish striving for holiness to see good-sized confession lines. I remember listening to one of the sermons of Bishop Sheen after Vatican II, and he lamented how the communion lines kept getting longer and the confession lines kept getting shorter or almost non-existent. And that was a very bad thing. Why? Because we're sinners. We need to go to confession. We need to receive the sacrament of forgiveness. It is a great sacramental spiritual resetting for ourselves. And we receive special graces to help us avoid sin better, besides receiving divine forgiveness. Speaking of this, I just came across something in the last day or so. It's a church bulletin from one of the, actually the front page of a church bulletin from a parish in New York City. And it must have been in the 1950s because I see there's no evening masses. And that was something that Pope Pius XII began to allow in the later 1950s, I believe. But just to give you an idea of when Catholics were really Catholics, this Franciscan church had 11 masses every Sunday and weekday. And I'm sure it's a church much bigger than ours. So imagine that, 11 masses. And what's interesting, the Sunday masses even has the times listed here, 2:30 a.m., 2:45 a.m. So they must have had various altars that were being used. So, and this is a special permission to, you know, to have mass this early in the morning, but they must have gotten that permission. 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11, 11:30, 12, 12:30, and 12:45, which is the latest that a mass could go. But get this. Do you know what the confession times were? Every day of the year from 6:45 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Not a.m. It wasn't just 3 hours from 6:45 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. It was the whole day. There was always Franciscan priests available. They obviously had several confessionals. And a Catholic could walk in any time and avail himself of that wonderful sacrament of mercy. Out of curiosity, I decided to look up this church's website, and it's nothing like this anymore. It's Novus Ordo's, far fewer confessions. And what's really sad is when they post the schedule of which priest is saying which so-called mass or hearing confessions, they don't even say Father. It's Bob, Tom, Joe. Joe is hearing confessions. Tom is saying the mass. It just shows the drastic collapse of what was formerly Catholic. So let us make a good spiritual beginning today. There are graces for us to have, graces that will be given. Well, even if we don't ask for them, there are graces being given, but all the more graces will be given by our asking. Remember, that's the purpose of prayer. So many graces. I love what Our Lady made known to Saint Catherine Laboure in one of her three apparitions, in which the miraculous medal was given to us. And Our Lady said, so many graces do not flow because they're not asked for, they're not sought. Let us ask for great things. Let us ask humbly, perseveringly, with confidence. Let our spiritual renewal take place.